All right, welcome everybody to Lecture 62 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today we are going to continue with the story of the birth of the United States. And we're going to look at the next phase, the next critical phase of all of these wonderful critical moments, one after the other, with these amazing heroes involved, the Founding Fathers. Before we dive into the story, I want to share my screen with you and show you a couple things on the webpage. One of them is that if you go to the History at Our House webpage now, later, you will see that the academic calendar has been updated a little bit. So you will see, you'll know it's the updated one because you will see that it says on the calendar, updated February 17th, 2015. Okay? And why did I bother to make an update? Well, because our schedule has, especially our schedule of tests, has changed somewhat from what I expected at the beginning of the year. And of course, since tests are quite important to us, let's go take a look specifically at what the change is. So here we are down here. And how do I get zoomed in view? Maybe I can't. If we look on this here, you will see, where are we today? Right? We are here. Let me annotate with a nice circle of some sort. We are here, right? This is us here, February 17th. Okay. So as you can see, we have a short week because of Washington's birthday. Happy birthday, George Washington. We have a short week, and then we have the History at Our House February break. And that is in honor of Mr. Powell's birthday. So we have this week off coming up. And then our schedule works as follows. On our return week, which begins on March 2nd, we will come back and we will have a test, and that test will be March 5th. This is the first important change. Test 4 was previously scheduled for February. We didn't quite get done what I wanted to do. So I have changed it, and test 4 will now come March 5th. And then the next change is that we have also put test 5 onto April 16th. Okay, so now I see that perhaps there's some chatting and or questions going on. So I hope everybody's hearing me. Abby, can you confirm that we're doing okay with the sound?
I can hear you.
Okay, fine. All right. So I wasn't sure if some people were having issues. But anyway, these are important changes. So that's why there is an update to the testing schedule and to the calendar. Okay? So go ahead and print that off get your parents to print it off so that you can know exactly what's coming. So as I said, short week this week, week off, and then test the week after, starting in March, okay, on this part of the course. All right, so let's get to the material here about this, what I'm calling the founding era. I call it that because it has to do with these characters that are, quite simply, the most important people in the entire history of the United States. And they are known, justly, as the Founding Fathers. Who do we have so far on our list of Founding Fathers in our minds? These people who fought for independence and created a new nation. Who are some of our Founding Fathers? Patrick Henry, do you have one?
Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Patrick Henry. Okay, Patrick Henry has chosen Thomas Jefferson. Does anybody have a different one? Walker, Ellison?
George Washington.
Awesome, George Washington, of course. Rosetta, do you have another one?
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. Okay, we haven't talked much about him, but he was the one, there were different things that he did, but I'm glad you know his name. Okay, Jeremy, who else have we talked about?
Sam Adams.
Adams.
Okay, Sam Adams and also John Adams. Okay, we didn't talk too much about them. Who was the founding father who got the whole thing started with the writs of assistance? Who was that? The man who fought the writs of assistance. Nash?
James Otis?
James Otis, thank you. Very good, okay. And then, yeah, so we have that. We have Patrick Henry who said, well, what was Patrick Henry's most famous line? Rosetta?
Give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, now you gotta yell it. Can you try it with some passion, Rosetta?
Give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, give me liberty! Or give me death. All right. So, okay. And then we got George Washington, who's going to cross the Delaware. And then we have Thomas Jefferson, who's declaring independence. Well, and today we're going to now start to talk about a founding father whose contribution is certainly worthy of being included with all of these great founding fathers. And his name is James Madison. So here he is. Here's a picture of James Madison. And you'll notice right underneath the picture, he is known, for instance, for being a president. So he's one of the presidents, one of the first presidents. But he's also one of the founding fathers in another sense. And it says it right here. What does it say about James Madison right here, Abby? He was...
Father of the Constitution.
Father of the Constitution. So we have begun to discuss this set of laws for the United States that is called the Constitution. And so we'll see that it's James Madison who is considered the father of this great set of laws. And he is also the man who gets the credit for, well, something that was added to the Constitution, which is the main thing that we're going to look at today. And that is a beautiful set of rules called the Bill of Rights. So what we are about to look at here is the story of yet another part of American history where we can say, if this had not happened, there would be... Somebody finish that sentence, or maybe I can help you out with the, there would be no, now you really know, there would be no, how do we end that sentence in American history, Patrick?
United States of America.
There would be no United States of America without James Madison. He is another one of these characters that there's just no way to exaggerate how important he is to the story. And this is what we are all about, right? This is what we must study in history. History is full of people doing all kinds of stuff, many of them good, some not so good, but you know, they're all over the place. There's billions and billions of them. But there's something that we have to do if we're going to make sense of history. We have to study only the what things. What's the key word for the entire study of history by the proper method? Dana.
Important,
right? We must focus on that which is most important. And the way that we figure out that what is the most important is, well, it doesn't get more important than saying, if this didn't happen, the whole world would be different. If this didn't happen, there would be no United States. It doesn't get bigger than that. Because what kind of world is this again? What's the word that we started off early in the year? We were talking about the kind of world that we live in. And we had an expression for, in this world, there's one country that is so much more important than any other. So we had a word for that. What's the word for that, Jeremy?
America-centric.
Exactly. The world is America-centric. The United States, that means the United States is by far the most important country in the world. And so the people who gave birth to that country, these fathers, as they're known, the founding fathers, it just doesn't get more important than that. All right. So, and especially because, well, America, throughout its history, has been known as a very free country. And, well, the question is, how did they do that? How come America became so free? What made it so wonderful? There was something about the Founding Fathers that they understood how to make a free country. And we have already seen them declare what it was that would basically do it. There was an ingredient that the Founding Fathers talked about in the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson in particular, of course, who wrote that mostly. And they said, if you want to have freedom, there's something that you have to know. There's something that you have to think about and understand. And once you understand that, then you will be able to have a government that's dedicated to it. What was that thing? What was it that Thomas Jefferson wrote? Three examples of which are known as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What are those examples of that the Founding Fathers were dedicated to? Walker?
Liberty.
No, liberty is one of the examples. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are three examples of, Abby?
Rights.
Okay, there we go. The concept of rights. In order to have freedom, you must have this concept, and you must know what it means. So today we're going to see that James Madison is one of the most important men for helping us to understand this idea. And boy, do we need to pay close attention to what he has to say today, because people today, you'll notice as you grow up that people use the word rights a lot, and they're very sloppy with it. And so we're going to see today what the Founding Fathers meant by that concept. And then we're going to have to, as we make our way through life, figure out whether or not the so-called rights that other people talk about are really rights or not. And really get that sorted out. Because without rights, you can't have freedom. So if you get them wrong and you don't know what they are, you're in big trouble. So, what did James Madison have to say about rights? Well, it's going to be right here in a crucial document. Hey, guess what it's called? The Bill of Rights. That's helpful. Okay, so what is the Bill of Rights? Well, just a little bit of review, going back to the Constitution. When the Founding Fathers were making the Constitution, remember that they didn't all agree on how it should work. For instance, Patrick Henry said, having a government, one government for all of the states, is a bad idea. Why? Does anybody remember what Patrick Henry had to say about having single government for all of the states? Well, here's a good chance to go to the class webpage. And where are we here? Uh-oh, maybe this is going to backfire on me. Why am I zoomed in like that? On the class webpage we have, it might take me too long. All right, I'm sorry, that's not going to be a good choice. So I'm not going to do that because it's going to take me too long to navigate. But Nash, maybe you can tell us anyway.
I was just saying that I knew one other fact about James Madison. He was the shortest president there was.
Well, that's not an important fact. All right, so let's talk about important stuff. Let's talk about what rights are. And so let's talk about Patrick Henry and why he was not a fan of the Constitution. This is important. Abby, go ahead.
Because he was worried that states that were too far away from the government would have problems.
In what way? What kind of problems would there be if you have this big, strong government far away from people?
Well, people will think the government doesn't know what they're dealing with because they...
No, it's not a failure of the people. It's something else. It's not a matter of what the people are thinking. It's more what the people cannot do if the government is far away. Try again, Abby.
They can't always go to the government. They need the government. They can't go to the government because it's too far away for them to go to.
Yeah, there's something about being too far away, and this is it. They can't watch it and make sure that the government is not turning into a tyrant. If it's too far away and the government is busy doing stuff and the people can't keep watch over it, there are going to be problems. Because what does the entire history of human government show us? What do governments do? Do they just wonderfully, spontaneously, everywhere and all the time protect people's rights? Is that what they do? Is that why we remember Menes Narmer? Is that why we remember the story of the European kings and so on and so forth? Patrick, what do they do everywhere all the time?
Ruling over and nobody has rights but him.
Aha! Excellent! Governments rule people. That's what history shows us with only very, very few exceptions. And so here we have the founders that are saying, we want to have a government of freedom, a government of rights. Well, if that government's far away and the people in that government are powerful, then we're going to be in danger. They're going to do things that kings would normally do. They're going to do things that people get tempted to do when they have power and they are not paying attention to the idea of rights. So Patrick Henry was what was called an anti-federalist. Did not want the Constitution. And then the Federalists had to argue against him and others like him, and they had to say, no, having the Constitution, having a federal government is actually the best way to protect rights. And this was throughout their arguments, the main point of what they were arguing about was, what's the best way to protect? Everybody finish that sentence. This now has to be a universal on the tip of everybody's tongue words. Henry?
This is Wyatt.
Yes? What's the word?
Rights.
Okay. And if we're going to use that word properly, we should put another word in front of it. We'll always, you know what, from now on, we're going to do that. Individual rights. All right, no longer will we satisfy ourselves with the word rights by itself. Rights belong to individuals. All right, so they were arguing about individual rights and what's the best way to do them. So Patrick Henry and a lot of the founding fathers were against the Constitution because they said it's not the best way to protect individual rights. And then the Federalists, along with James Madison, said, okay, we see your concerns, we understand what you're saying about the dangers of a big government. So what we're going to do is, we're going to make a cage for that government. Now, of course, I don't mean a literal cage, right? But what do you need cages for? What are cages for? Jeremy, what's a cage for?
Go ahead. Trapping things.
Not necessarily. What you're trapping, I think, is what you said. For holding things. Abby, you want to say it? Give your answer?
For controlling things.
Yeah, for containing or keeping something that's going to escape and hurt you from doing that, right? So what was this cage that the Federalists were going to build for the government? Well, it's called the Bill of Rights. So what do I mean? Why do I call it a cage? I think that's what it is, and we have to think of it that way if we want to understand it properly. And you're going to see what's in it. Now, I'm scrolling through a bunch of stuff here, and I'm going to get to the heart of the Bill of Rights. And what it is a list of rules. And those rules are not for the citizens. Those rules are things that the government may not do. That's why I call it a cage. Right? Because when you're free, you get to move around, you get to do whatever you want, but if you're a dangerous creature and you have to be contained, then there are these bars that are keeping you in place. And so, what are these bars? What are these big, powerful iron bars that are keeping the government from becoming tyrannical? Keeping anybody in the American government from being a mayonnaise narmer, in case he might want to do that. Well, there are rules, and they are called amendments. Oh, that's a strange word. That's a strange word. Why did the Founding Fathers choose that word? Anybody know that word? All right, then. I guess we better check it out. What's this word? Amendment. Okay. To amend something is to add to it. So, an amendment is an addition to something. So, the Founding Fathers made the Constitution, and then they added to it. Or, to put it another way, they made the Constitution, and then they amended it. Okay? Everybody got that? Tomorrow, when I ask randomly in the class, what's an amendment? What are you going to tell me, Gabriel? An amendment is an... Well, okay, get into focus here. Jack, go ahead. What's an amendment? Okay, everybody tune in right now. I got two strikes, three strikes, and you're out. What an amendment is, Anna, please save everybody.
An addition?
An addition. Okay, good. An addition to something. Okay, so... Sigourney, what's an amendment?
An addition.
Oh, good, right, okay. And Nash, what does it mean to amend something?
It means to add on.
Ah, very good. Okay, hey, let's see. Jeremy, what's another word for an addition?
An extension.
Okay, yeah, well, okay. What's another word for an extension or an addition, Jennifer?
What?
What's another word for an addition to something?
Add.
Oh, no, let's not strike out again. Patrick?
Amendment.
Okay, the word is hard to pronounce, but you're on the right track. Walker, what is it?
Amendment.
Amendment. Okay, sometimes we gotta do a few extra reps on there to make sure those brain muscles are firing. Okay, amendment. Patrick, what is an amendment? It's an?
Addition.
Addition. Oh, okay. All right, so what did the Founding Fathers say we need to add to the Constitution to make sure that the government doesn't become a tyrant? Let's look at it. What was the first thing? Now imagine that, right? These are the Founding Fathers. They're going to create a country. And what did they think was the first thing that they needed to add to the Constitution to make sure that Americans are going to be free? Can you imagine? I mean, if we're gonna look for things that are important, where are we gonna find the most important thing? Are we gonna find it at number 18 on the list? Which one's the most important? Amendment number? Amendment number one. Amendment number one. Okay, who's going to read amendment number one? Not easy to read. So I want a confident reader here. Okay, Wyatt, it's up to you.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise therefore.
Thereof? Oh, you know what? I asked you to do a hard reading, so I'm going to go ahead and do it because there are a few really tricky words in here. So just read along with me, Wyatt, okay? Everybody read along with me. Congress shall make no law. Okay, isn't that interesting? No. That's what the Bill of Rights is. You may not do this. No law respecting an establishment of religion. In other words, no laws having to do with religio. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, so in other words, everybody is going to be free, and there's nothing the government can do about it. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Abridging is taking away parts of it. Doing anything at all to reduce it. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. So in other words, if you and I want to go to Starbucks, the government can't stop us. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, to go to Washington, D.C. and march around with signs and say, we don't like you. Or do it anywhere we want to, basically. Right? And to petition the government and say, you're doing things wrong, fix it. So this was the first set of things the Founding Fathers said, we need to make sure if we're going to have free human beings in America, this we need to guarantee that the government cannot have any power to affect their religion or to stop them from speaking. Wow, very crucial. This is right at the beginning. This is what James Madison is saying. This is the most important thing. The most important thing. People must be free to think and believe what they want. Number one. Absolutely number one. And then from there, they continue to look at things that, well, what were different ways that governments could take away people's rights? And, well, what would be necessary to stop that from happening? So they said, all right, number two, second most important thing, a well-regulated militia, meaning citizen soldiers, being necessary to the security of a free state. The right, there we go again with that word, of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, to bear arms means to do what? What does it mean to bear arms? What right do people have? Nemo?
To carry weapons.
Yeah, not necessarily to carry them all over the place, but to have them, to possess them. But that's an interesting one, right? Because if we're looking at the word bear arms, yeah, that is, that's interesting that you said that, Nemo. So yeah, people often argue exactly what are the limits of these words and whether or not people should be able to have certain kinds of weapons and so on. All right, so now, of course, because the danger is, if the people don't have weapons, here's rule number three. The government will put soldiers in their houses. Is that a ridiculous exaggeration or what? Oh, those founding fathers, what do you mean the government will put soldiers in people's houses? Did it ever do that? What about a wonderful civilized government like the British government? Would they ever do that? The best one in the world at the time. Would it ever put soldiers in people's houses, Abby?
Yes.
Yes, it
Yeah,
would.
the Writs of
It did.
Assistance.
Exactly. Writs of Assistance, the Quartering Act in particular of 1765, said, put the soldiers in your house. Obey. So the founders said, we know about that. So we're not going to let the American government do that to its people. And finally, we'll stop here for today with number four. See if you can tell me why they were so eager to put this as rule number four, the fourth of the powerful iron bars of the cage of the government. Here we go. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, and so on and so forth. So what does that have to do with warrants for seizing people's property? James Otis had something to say about that, didn't he? Abby?
The Writs of Assistance case.
The Writs of Assistance case, right? So when they were making, when the Founding Fathers were making the rules for keeping the government under control, they, of course, were thinking about the things that had gone wrong in American colonies. They were thinking about the ways in which these they themselves, considering themselves to be mostly free members of the British Empire, right? Mostly free English citizens. How had they come to be enslaved? Or how were they on their way to being enslaved by these various measures? And so that they needed to stop the government in its tracks, make sure that the American government could never go down this path. And so on and so forth. And then the amendments get pretty technical here, right? So we're not going to go into detail. Some of these are absolutely, I tell you, it's hard for me to pick my favorite one. It's got to be the First Amendment. But after that, I have to think, I'm going to pick the Fifth Amendment. And most people don't really appreciate this nearly as well. But it's a very complicated amendment. So we're not going to talk about it in this class. But it is among the most brilliant things the Founding Fathers ever did. And it has to do with how to protect people's rights even when they are arrested. Even if they are suspected of being criminals. It's just an absolutely amazing set of laws that I don't think any other country has anything close to it. So anyway, it keeps on going and going and going. We can't do them all. It's just too complicated. What's the point here? Is that the Founding Fathers, we're going to sum up for today. The Founding Fathers decided to make amendments to the Constitution. What do we mean by amendments? Let's see who hasn't answered this question yet. Nemo, what's an amendment?
Commission.
No, that's not the word I was looking for. Gabriel, you're up.
It's an add-on.
An add-on, okay. Addition would be a better word, an addition to the Constitution, okay? And they made these additions because they wanted to protect people's... Key word of the entire American Revolution, Patrick?
Rights.
Individual rights. So, no wonder the additions to the Constitution are called the Bill of Rights, collected together. See, there were a whole bunch of them added together, and they said this collection of additions that we're going to do right away, we're going to call that, has been known ever since, as the Bill of Rights. Okay, there we go. All right, we're on our way. Now, next thing that we're going to talk about tomorrow is these Founding Fathers who are now presidents. They knew that, well, the American government itself could become dangerous to the rights of Americans. So they had to make all these rules. But they also knew that there were other things that were dangerous to rights. Not just the American government itself. What else was dangerous to the rights of Americans? Anybody have a guess? Wyatt?
Other countries, they could attack America.
There you go. The governments of other countries, where, as it turns out, nobody else understood rights. So, of course, they were going to be dangerous to Americans as well. So the main job of the Founding Fathers, as they became presidents, was to make sure that America would stay independent, not be connected to other countries whose governments do not respect rights. So that became their great challenge, and we'll talk about that tomorrow and then on from there. All right. Excellent. I hope I don't have to amend this class with more discussions of amendments. All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.